everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I am your host for this edition, Doug Hummer. Tonight, we are counting down the top 20 greatest tag teams of all time. It's voted on by the fans. Of course, joining me tonight to help me do this countdown is my brother, Daniel.
Hey, what's up?
The greatest manager in the history of Victory One Wrestling, Professor Ken Pernikus, is here.
You're damn right, and it's good to be here.
All right, also joining us, Eric's with us.
What's up?
All right, also joining us, we have Mr. Bob Hazelwood.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show, border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea.
And if we can hear him, Boxman is here.
All right, hopefully you can hear me.
Kind of.
All right, let me work on this as you guys are going here. I can't understand it. According to my mixer, I am blaring loud, but okay.
All right. So while he's figuring that out, make sure I'll do his plug for him. Make sure you listen to Boxman and Smirk, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Then listen to them Saturday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, for the Hollywood Hangout. So that'll be tomorrow night. That's mixer.com/Hollywood Hangout. Listen to us 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Obviously, we're counting down the 20 greatest tag teams tonight. Next week, we are going to be rebooking a WrestleMania. Daniel, myself, Clint, and Eric will each pick a WrestleMania, take it to a poll. Whatever WrestleMania wins that poll, you know, we're going to go back and we're basically going to fantasy book it to, you know, our specifications.
Yep.
Then, of course, on March the 11th, we're going to do a career retrospective on the man called Sting, his top 10 moments and matches. March 18th. We are going to do a pay-per-view retrospective on WrestleMania 23. And then other stuff that we'll be talking about in the coming weeks. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Daniel and I will be here for Unscripted Unlimited. We're going to be talking the Beverly Hills Cop franchise.
Can't wait. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. And then Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time for Scaredy Cats with Daniel and Mindy.
We're going to be talking the new Texas Chainsaw. So.
All right. Beautiful. And then make sure to check out our buddy Sean on YouTube, Elite Diplodoc. And then also on Twitch with Sneaky Fetty. Bob, do you have anything you want to plug?
Every Tuesday and Thursday night on the Kenny Bolin Show, the Bolin Alley. We're on YouTube. That's youtube.com/StarMakerBolin.
All right, beautiful. So make sure you you check that out. Boxman is still dealing with his technical difficulties.
Let's get into it.
So let's get – all right, so we have a list here of 20 – now, 30 teams were eligible for this list because, you know, I wrote down the top 30. And I wrote down the top 30 because we're going to do have ourselves a little contest here. And what we're going to do is when we get to a number, I'm going to ask each one of you who you think made it to – who you think is at this number, and I'm going to give you three options.
Right.
Obviously, one of those options being the correct option. The other one being an option that is still to come on the list. And then, of course, another option of somebody that didn't even make the countdown.
Right.
Okay. You get it right, you get a point. And then the winner of the contest will actually get to pick the next countdown that, you know, we get to do.
Yep.
Go ahead.
This one was voted on by around 8,000 people, right?
Old school wrestling. So in the several groups that I posted polls in, posted several different polls, the top 30 alone had close to 7,900 votes. all together with all 91 teams that were on the ballot, or 91 or 93, we had close to about 9,000, maybe 9,500 votes. It was a bit to count. So it hurt my head.
Let's get into it.
All right. So let's get into it. The Boxman, I'm sure, will be back. So we have number 20. Mm-hmm. All right. So who do you guys – and Bob, we'll start with you. Who do you think made it to number 20? A, the sheep herders. B, the APA. Or C, the New Age Outlaws.
If I'm looking at number 20 from the top 30 list that I saw, I would guess number 20 is the APA.
All right. Daniel?
I'm going to go sheep herders.
Okay. Kenny?
I'm going to say sheep herders.
Eric?
I'm going to go with Bob and say APA.
Okay. So, number 20 is Farouk and Bradshaw, the APA.
How about it?
So, they clocked in with 170 votes. All votes in the top 20 and even in that top 30 mm-hmm. were triple digit.
Sweet.
Okay. So, Farouk and Bradshaw, you know, they made number 20. Obviously, they were one of the, not necessarily the key teams in the Attitude Era, but they were very important because you got to see a lot of, you know, the personality of both guys. Well, Ron's personality is more just him going, damn. But, Bob, did Bradshaw come into the GWF after you were gone, or were you, or was he there with you a little bit?
He came in later. I was already out by that time.
Okay. So you didn't know Bradshaw at all?
No, I've talked to him a couple times on the Bolin show, but I'd never met him prior to that. No.
Okay. All right. Daniel, what do you think of the APA's placement on this list?
I mean, yeah, they certainly deserve to be there. I think they're kind of a sleeper team when you think of these top 20 lists. Maybe they won't make a lot of people's lists, but I think very important. And not only for, like, what they did in the ring, but, like, the backstage segments and everything. And they really kind of revolutionized the game. They made it a whole character, and this is after Farouk coming off kind of not a failed run with the Nation, but that kind of turned into the Rocks gig, so he kind of needed something. And Bradshaw had kind of been going through all these gimmicks, so it was nice for him. And then they really clicked. I like the Acolytes too when they first started, and they were a little darker, but then they did the APA stuff, and that was awesome. And yeah, I think they certainly deserve to be there. Really tremendous tag team, great characters too.
All right, Kenny, how do you feel about their placement on the list and the fact that they're even on the list?
Well, see, this is where I like both guys, and it's, you know, their wrestling personas. I can't speak to their personal life, but I could take them or leave them. So if they got to be on the list, 20's fine. I always thought Ron Simmons had way more potential than he ever got to show. Granted, he was the first person of color to be a world champion in the modern era, so that's not nothing. So, yeah, this is fine placement, just good stuff. Fine, just fine.
Okay. Eric, how do you feel about all this?
I think they deserve to be in the top 20. They were one of the best tag teams in the Attitude Era, or end of the era. Towards the end of Attitude Era.
Okay. All right. Bob, what do you think about their placement on the top 20?
Obviously, I picked them here at number 20, but if it were my list, I wouldn't put them in the top 20. I think they're a great team. And like you said before, like like I said, the backstage vignettes were memorable, but I think they're probably a top 35, top 40 tag team. I wouldn't have personally put them in my top 20.
Okay.
But I also have to think, you know, we've got a younger generation of wrestling fan that, like, when we get done, I've got 10 guys, 10 teams that I'm shocked weren't even on this list, right? And so, but that's going to reflect my old fartness.
Right. Well, there's several teams that I'm surprised didn't even make the top 30. Boxman, can we hear you?
I hope so.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
That's good.
All good. All right. Boxman, APA made it to number 20.
Okay. 20. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll start there. That's good.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, guys.
I mean, are you surprised that APA made the list at all?
No, I'm surprised they're 20. Thought they'd be a little higher, but I don't know. APA were pretty badass, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. So, Box, I don't know if you heard it. Well, I don't think you did hear it because you were busy dealing with your difficulties. Yeah. So, here's how we're going to run the little contest we have. When we get to a number, I'm going to give you three options as to who that number could be. You're going to pick one, and if you're right, you get a point. If you're wrong, then obviously you don't get a point. Person with the most points at the end gets to pick the next countdown we get to do. All right.
Oh.
Now, you're already at a disadvantage, but that's okay.
Story of my life.
Doesn't matter. You're all going to lose anyway. I'm going to win this. So.
all right. So we're at number 19. And Eric, we'll start with you this time around. Who do you think number 19 is? Your choices for number 19 are A, the Harlem Heat, B, Kerry and Kevin Von Erich, or C, the Hollywood Blondes.
Ooh. I'm going to go Hollywood Blondes.
All right, Bob?
I actually will agree with that, Hollywood Blondes.
Okay, Boxman.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is the Pillman Austin version, right? Because there's been a lot of teams over the years called Hollywood Blondes.
Yes, it is Pillman and Austin.
Box,
you're going Hollywood Blondes?
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
Okay, Kenny.
See, Bob beat me to it. Now, I was going to ask the same question because were we going to talk about Al and Don Green or... who the heck was it? That's Humperdinck and give me a sec. Buddy Roberts, right? And
yeah.
Jerry Brown were the other ones. Which, if you've never seen Jerry Brown, you got to look at this guy. He looks like if Gonzo was a human being from the Muppets. Fabulous face. He does. But anyways, I think the Blondes is a good choice.
All right, Daniel.
Yeah, I don't want to go against the grain here. I'll go the Blondes. I was thinking maybe the Von Erichs, but you said Kerry and Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go the Blondes.
Okay. You're all wrong. It's Harlem Heat.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So
I probably should have gone with my gut instinct.
Yeah. All right, gut instinct. Let's start with you. How do you feel about Harlem Heat 1 being in the top 20? And two, how do you feel about their placement?
In the top 20, definitely, because they were one of the best WCW teams, at least from my point of view. 19, I thought they were going to be maybe top 10. So that's why I didn't go with my gut instinct. Because I said, Harlem Heat is probably a popular team. So I said, maybe top 10. So... if I went Hollywood Blondes.
Okay. All right. Well, and it's funny because they were WCW Tag Team Champions, I think it was 10 times. And, you know, Stevie Ray always wasn't the best worker. It was always Booker. But, like, they were probably
they helped for the longest time. They technically were WCW's tag team division.
Yeah.
So, like, they definitely, in my opinion, deserve to be on the list. And, yeah, they probably should be higher, especially because they were together for so long. Now, Bob, they were another team that was in the GWF, but did they get there after you were already gone?
They came in right about the same time Eddie Gilbert was leaving, and Eddie and I left not on purpose together, but that was about the same time. So they came in, I think, a week or two right before I was gone. So I met them, but only very superficially.
Okay. Now, how do you
I thought they would be ranked higher, to be honest. I agree. I thought that – I wouldn't put them in the top 10, yeah. But I'd have put them in the top 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Kenny, we'll go to you next.
This is such a hard one because I think, you know, the time they were a team is very much eclipsed over the time Booker T was a superstar, right? I mean, because that's what's ingrained in at least the younger fans' mind, right? Because he was like the only guy from the invasion that made it, you know, made it, right? That became a star.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of hard to judge. I would have put him higher myself. They were a great team. Unfortunately, you got to kind of address the elephant in the room and some of the booking choices that may have played on some stereotypes and such, especially some weren't even stereotypes. Some were just like outright racist, not even stereotypes. When they first got to WCW, and then kind of the whole thing with Sherry and the implications, if you wanted to read it that way, what they were trying to do. But for them, it didn't hold them back, really. They went on and became tag team champions, and then Booker became a huge star. So, yeah, I'd have placed them higher, but they definitely deserve to be on here.
Okay. Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, that as tag team wrestling is probably, you know, one of my favorite parts of the wrestling business. And when I think of, like, certain eras and, like what tag team division is the best, that WCW tag division at the time from about 94 to 98?
Yeah, they split up around 98.
So, like, them going against the Nasties and stuff was awesome. And I love Harlem Heat. And, you know, everyone gives Stevie flack, but he was the powerhouse. And it looked legitimate when those two big, you know, badass dudes came on the TV. And, you know, they both looked like they were going to beat you up. I mean, Booker made it look a little cooler in the ring, but they were both, you know, two tough guys. And it was great seeing them. I think they definitely belong in the list. I'd probably agree with everybody else. I'd say probably 15. I'd put them in, like, 16, 15, but 19 is not a terrible spot for them. There's so many great tag teams. So.
Right. All right, Boxman, how do you feel about their placement, and do they belong in the top 20, like, in your eyes?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Two entertaining guys, jacked to the fucking gills, and always liked them. Just like I said, entertaining as hell. I agree with everyone here. And I do agree Booker might have been the better worker, but like Daniel just said, Stevie was the better powerhouse. And I don't know. Pretty much everybody said everything. I definitely think they should be, I think, like everyone was saying, top 15 sounds about right to me, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to head to number 18, and I think this is going to be the first one where you guys are going to be like, what the hell? So, all right, and we'll start with Boxman on this end. Boxman, number 18, is it A, the Outsiders, Hall and Nash, B, Steve Williams and Terry Gordy, or C, Undertaker and Kane?
Jeez. Ooh. I'm going to go C, Taker and Kane.
Okay. Daniel.
Terry Gordy.
All right. Kenny.
Oh, geez, let me think about that. This is a very hard choice for me because two of these teams didn't even make my top 20, so I'm going to have to say Dr. Death and Terry Gordy.
Okay, Bob.
I don't know your audience very well. If it were me picking this, I'm going to pick Gordy and Dr. Death because I wouldn't really consider the Outsiders or Undertaker and Kane as a real tag team. I consider them like two guys who got thrown together, two individual wrestlers who worked together a bit. But as far as the actual tag team goes, Gordy and Death.
Completely agree.
Okay. I mean, I agree too. Eric.
I'm going to go with the Outsiders.
Okay. Boxman got the point. It's Undertaker and Kane at number 18.
Jeez.
All right.
I know your audience.
In an old school wrestling group, too.
Yeah,
it's in an old school. Well, also, too, I mean, you know, because we go into all the different groups, but Box, don't we share an audience, too?
We do share most of an audience, which is why I know your audience, and WWE people are low on every list in your group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, and well, obviously we share an audience because up until you fired Eric, he was on your show.
I don't fire anybody. I'm old and tired, and I can't stay up that late.
I think firing Eric might have been a great move.
So do I. Box was actually my hero until he...
we love you, Eric. So anyway, Boxman,
we'll start with you on this one because you got the point.
Okay.
Do Undertaker and Kane, one, even belong in the top 20? And two, should they have been, or is this the right spot for them?
You probably should have said Brothers of Destruction. That might have been more of a tag team than just Undertaker and Kane thrown together. But tough to say if they belong. I got to be honest with you. I kind of agree with Bob over there. They were just sort of thrown together. And but they did last a decent long time. So I guess you could put them low on a list like this. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bitch about it. It's a fucking list. So, but, yeah, I would say they probably do belong up there. I mean, to some people, they were a hell of a tag team. I mean, you had two guys in their prime going out there and, you know, doing crazy shit. It was good stuff. I enjoyed it. And, yeah, I guess they could belong on the list. That's fine.
I mean, in my defense, like, when I ask people, like, when I ask the preliminary question, you know, give me your top five, who you think are the top five greatest tag teams of all time. It wasn't presented to me as Brothers of Destruction. It was presented to me as Undertaker and Kane. And because I'm actually writing this stuff on a small notepad, Undertaker and Kane took up less room than Brothers of Destruction. But
B.O.D. Done.
Yeah. There's this thing called Microsoft Word.
I'm too cheap to get it on my computer.
There was this thing called Notepad. I'll talk to you about it after the show.
There's notes on your phone also.
I have Word. You can use my office. We'll get into it later.
Yeah. Daniel, you wanted to go next.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I hope that Steve Williams and Terry Gordy are somewhere else on the list, and they're not the ones that just didn't make them, because you know, kind of a younger guy, the youngest one here, but still likes a lot of the older stuff, prefers it. That amazing tag team. I mean, I love Terry Gordy and anything, but the Brothers of Destruction, I would have to agree. I don't know about thrown together. They made sense, like, storyline purposes, but I think of those two as a feud. Like, when I think of Undertaker and Kane, I think of Undertaker versus Kane. The Brothers of Destruction was, like, cool filler stuff in between that, but I think of them, like, as a storyline going against each other. So they wouldn't make my list. Hall and Nash, I would say they're like a real tag team. It always made sense for them to team together, especially as the Outsiders, but they still wouldn't make my list. I don't know if they did enough. They did a lot for like the business, but I don't know like specifically for the tag team like division. So that's just my take on it. But, you know, the Brothers of Destruction are legends. So Yeah. Oh, my. All right. Bob, we'll go to you next. What do you think of the placement of Undertaker and Kane?
If they're going to be on the list at all, then being on their low is a good idea.
Okay.
Like I said, I wouldn't have put them on my list, but.
Right. Yeah. Because it's funny, like, you know, I look at it too, and again, this was all fan vote. I really had nothing to do with this, but like, if I were going to fix the list, I wouldn't have Undertaker and Kane on here.
We're not putting you on the torch, Doug. Don't worry.
Yeah. I still have to feel like I have to cover my ass. But it's funny, you know, a couple people that I talk to at work,
yeah.
Well, one person is very happy that they were going to make the list.
Well, that's good.
But, like,
happy.
Yeah.
Well, and apparently, like, 180 or 200 plus people are happy out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, their vote count was 185.
Yeah, so,
all right.
There you go.
Yeah. Kenny.
For the sake of brevity, if you want to hear my view, just rewind 30 seconds back to when Bob first had his view. So there you go.
All right. Eric?
Yeah, I agree with the group. I don't think it should be a top 20, maybe top 40. Because they were a tag team, like, off and on for, like, what, 10 years. They weren't a consistent tag team. And they only won, what, the tag team titles, like, twice?
Two or three times, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't think they're top 20, not even top 30. But
they are legends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, well, so we've had our first what the fuck. There's going to be more. All right, so we got number... We got number 17.
Okay.
Daniel, we're going to start with you.
All right.
All right. Who do you think clocked in at number 17? A, the Fabulous Freebirds. B, the Dudley Boys. Or C, Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood.
Ooh. Any incarnation of the Freebirds? Any of the three?
Yeah, any of them.
Okay.
Freebirds. A good one.
Freebird rules.
Yeah. All right. So, Daniel, you just said Freebirds?
Yes.
All right. Foxman.
Yeah, I'm saying Freebirds, too.
All right. Bob?
Three for three, Freebirds.
Oh, geez. So give me the last two. I heard Freebirds, and I got stuck.
All right. Then we had the Dudleys and then the Mega Powers.
Ricky and Jay.
Yeah, I'm like, now you're lying.
Oh.
Now you're changing the list.
Mega Powers, yeah. Ricky, Steamboat, and Jay Youngblood. Thank you, Bob.
Geez, gosh. For personal reasons, I would put the Dudleys higher, but at this point, you know, let's say the Dudleys.
All right, Eric?
I'm going Steamboat and Young.
Okay. It is the Freebirds. So right. Daniel, Boxman, Bob got the point.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Bob, we'll start with you. Is this the right place on the list for the Birds?
Probably, yeah. Maybe a little higher, but with the competition, I think it's a good spot for them. Dudley's, to me, are going to be higher on the list, so I didn't even consider them at number 18. And so it was coming down to the choice between the Freebirds and Steamboat and Youngblood. So I think I'd have personally put them up a little bit more, but again, that's my Southern wrestling roots. So I think 17 is not bad.
Okay. All right. Kenny, how do you feel about this?
Like you said, I think it's good placement, maybe a little higher because they were like, you know, and it's hard to remember this, but they were an attraction for so long in, you know, world class. I mean, you know, they were basically in there with the Von, it was either them or Gino and Chris Adams were in there with the Von Erichs. it's some almost throughout the whole deal. So, yeah, they're in a good place. They were a major draw. They had spots in places. I don't know if I, you know, I when I speak of them, I'm not talking about, no disrespect to them, but I'm not thinking about the WCW Freebirds, because that was just, that was like, if that would have been on purpose, that would have been the funniest parody in the history of wrestling, but it wasn't on purpose. So, yeah, this is a good place for them. It's a little higher maybe, but, like, you know, Terry Gordy is probably the only guy who could have showed up on this list three times. So,
yeah. So what do you think of, what do you think of Jimmy Garvin as a Freebird?
Jimmy was, okay, this is the best way I could put it, is Gorgeous Jimmy was great, and he always kind of was like this quasi-associate, but like when he became Jimmy Jam Garvin, I'm like, oh, jeez. He was just so good as Gorgeous Jimmy, it was kind of like, I wanted that Jimmy. That Jimmy was perfection in a way, you know?
So Jimmy the individual was better than Jimmy the Freebird, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it wasn't like, it wasn't offensive or anything. Like, you wouldn't, it wouldn't be anything like if I went to see at a show, I'd been offended by want my money back, but it wasn't that good.
Okay. Eric, how do you feel about the Freebirds placement?
They probably should have been a little higher. I mean, I know they were very popular in the 80s, so I thought they were going to be a little higher, maybe top 12. So this is a bit surprising.
Right. All right, Boxman.
I'm actually good with it. Placement, I mean, they were a great tag team, you know, back in the 80s and for that time, and I don't know. I just think that, like I said, there's been so many tag teams out there that I could see Freebird getting lost in the shuffle and being right where they're at.
Okay. All right, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I hate to disagree with Kenny a little bit, but that is one of the best entrance themes of all time, Jimmy Jam Garvin and Michael Hayes coming out. I'm obviously kidding. but. I mean, that was like a fun...
I was
going
to say, I will walk to Philly and get you.
No, I'm just kidding. But it's like hilarious. It's one of those things that it's so bad, it's good. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, we know the version of the Freebirds that we're talking about. And, yeah, a lot of the tag teams we're going to talk about, legendary tag teams, but a lot of them, you know, a tag team act is sort of in the mid-card sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with that. But talk about the Freebirds, they're top of the key a lot. They're main event with the Von Erichs, you know, 5 days out of the week. Just a great heel tag team, awesome. I mean, obviously a big draw in the South. And, I mean, they went anywhere, too, and they had their cup of coffee and went against the top teams wherever they went. So, yeah, they definitely deserve to be there. Love the Freebirds.
Okay.
Now, Daniel. You brought something up that was really interesting there.
Okay.
You talked about how they were a heel tag team, and I think if you look back at it, the truth is, with maybe the exception of the Von Erichs and the Junkyard Dog,
yes,
and they were in a feud with him, they were not the heels.
Yeah.
Because of where they were in the country. They were the faces, except with those two exceptions.
Right. No, absolutely. They did do a lot of babyface work. It's just when I think of the Freebirds, I can't help but think of those, like, you know, the three scumbags just trying to come after the Von Erichs. And they were always the cool heels, too. I mean, fans were always cheering them regardless. But
how could you come out the Freebird and think in the South in the 80s and get booed? Like, you would have had to kill a puppy and a child and a baby, and just riding a puppy in the ring for them to hate them. And maybe not even that. They might have just been neutral at that point.
Right.
Yeah, that puppy deserved it, man.
Aw, poor puppy.
All right, so we're at number 16. And Kenny, we'll start with you. Who do you think number 16 is? Is it A, Doom? B, Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody, or C, the Mega Powers?
That's a good one. I'm not sure. I see Bruiser, I see Hansen and Brody. That's like, that's the one I think people miss out on, because that's almost, that's like almost where people like can't, don't think about that team. So I don't think it's them. I don't think it's the Mega Powers, but I'm going to have to go with then Doom. And Doom to me, especially lately, I've been hearing a lot more stuff about Doom, and it's something people should know about. So yeah, Doom is my pick.
Okay, Daniel.
I don't think the Mega Powers are better than Hansen and Brody or Doom, but going off that you said them last time on accident, I have a feeling they might be it. So I'm going the Mega Powers.
Okay. Bob.
I will also go with the Mega Powers, even though as is the case with others, I don't think they're a real team thrown together for a storyline and then never work together again. So, but I'll put them in the spot.
All right. Boxman.
B was Hansen and Brody, right?
Sure. Yeah. It was.
Okay. I'll go with that one just so we can have a nice mixture.
Okay. Eric.
I'm going to agree with Box here.
All right. It is Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody.
Son of a bitch.
All right.
All right. So Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody. And what's funny about Stan and Bruiser is the fact that, you know, when they first came into the business, I think it was 1974, maybe 75, they came in as a team. And Bill Watts saw both money and both guys and wanted to split them up. But they didn't want to split up because they wanted to have each other's backs because, you know, they were buddies.
Yeah.
So they left Mid-South. I mean, they eventually did come out and split up and become big stars, but they also, obviously, they had that, you know, the fame as a tag team in Japan.
Right.
I mean, personally, like, I'm happy they made the list. But we'll, Boxman, we'll go to you since you got it right, and then we'll go to Eric. But since you said it right first, how do you feel about Hansen and Brody being on the list and their placement?
I'm all right with them being on the list. To be honest, they were a little bit before my time watching wrestling. I think they actually, the first time they teamed, I think I was actually just born, if that was 1975. So didn't see a ton of their stuff, but did, you know, I've watched a few of the things that they did. Obviously, thank God for YouTube. You know, you can find like the Dory Funk and Terry Funk versus Stan Hansen and Bruiser and stuff like that. So, you know, you can go on YouTube and find some stuff, which I've watched. And again, I know there's so many other tag teams. I'm kind of expecting some of these, you know, tag teams from, I hate to say yesteryear, but, you know, back in those days, getting lost in the shuffle again.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Well, yeah, and I can kind of see what you mean. I mean, because there's a lot of tag teams, you know, Bob said it earlier, there's a lot of tag teams that, you know, you would think would be on this list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but then they get screwed over in favor of Undertaker and Kane. Eric, we'll go to you next. How do you feel about Hansen and Brody being on this list and their placement?
I'm not too familiar. I never saw these guys wrestle, so I guess they're in the right place. So they were before I watched wrestling, so I guess it's probably the right place for them.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Brody passed away like way before you started watching.
The man did not pass away.
He's the one that he was murdered. Yep.
Yeah.
I know.
Passing away is when you die in your sleep. That's passing away.
All right. Well, thank you for
out in the shower in Puerto Rico.
He's got a very valid point. I just want to make that clear. Okay.
Right. Not dying in a shower in Puerto Rico.
With a knife.
Nothing
in
against Puerto Rico. Something against Puerto Rico. I mean, I like Puerto Rico itself, but your airport sucks. Please do something about it.
All right. So,
Kenny, since you made that valid point, you get to go next.
Okay. So, again, I think maybe in the – this is a team that, like, I didn't even think about, even though I've named much older teams that I knew about. And the thing is, one thing I will say about what's amazing about these two guys is that really their reputations, especially in America to some extent, it's amazing how big – they were such a big deal that people here who never, you know, because of the, you know, if you traded tapes, maybe you saw them. People here knew who Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody were. They knew them here, even though you could say their careers were based in Japan, right? But when so these guys were just legendary. So them as a team feels natural. And, I mean, and again, this is a team of two giant guys who just and kick ass, and not in there only, but also kick the fans' asses if they get in the way. And, you know, half the thing about them is watching them come in the crowd, and Hansen's got the bull rope, and he's swinging it, and the Japanese fans are just running like, you know, the worst thing ever is coming, and Brody's doing, like, the same thing. And, of course, they're giant men here, so they're extremely giant men in Japan. So, yeah, it's like nothing you've ever seen before, nothing you'll ever see again, because there's no way anywhere in the world of wrestlers going to go swinging a heavy bull rope and hitting fans and not get sued out of his tights. So if you haven't seen him, see him, but good place on the list.
Okay. All right. Bob?
I'm happy they're on the list. I'm concerned that the position they're on the list, what that means for the team that I chose seems they're way higher than I think they should be. These guys are good, and they deserve to be on any tag team list because they dominated New Japan. They dominated in Japan. They dominated in the United States. They're the epitome of a brawler tag team.
Right. I mean, like I said, I'm definitely happy they made the list. Daniel.
Yeah. Love them. Love it. Love them both together, separate. Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody are two of the best to ever do it. Together, magic. Not much more to say.
Yeah. And on the subject of Stan Hansen real quick, he's finally, I mean, I don't know if he actually has a figure out there or not, but he's finally getting a wrestling figure.
Awesome.
The new line that's being produced by Power Tower, whatever the people that are associating with Greg Gang and develop these new figures. Stan Hansen is going to be in that first series. Sure.
Question. Does it spew tobacco juice if you press a button on the back? And will it try to whip you with
I don't know. I only...
a bull rope.
That'd be a cool feature.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool. I mean, that would write Greg Gagne and ask him, or send him a tweet or an email or something.
Can it see more than 6 inches in front of its face if it's not wearing glasses?
Yes, it has little action, but 90%, it swings really hard so it doesn't miss because it's nearsighted. So if you put your finger in front of it, it'll break your finger with the lariat.
All right, so we're at number 15. And, Eric, we're going to start with you.
Awesome.
Who do you think made it to number 15? A, the Rockers, B, the Hardy Boys, or C, Ivan and Nikita Koloff?
The Rockers.
Okay. All right. Daniel.
The Koloffs.
Okay. Boxman.
Yep. Koloff. So I'm with that's C, right? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Bob?
The Midnight Rockers.
Okay. And Kenny?
Tough one again. This one is actually like, this one shocked me, the choice he gave us. Oh, boy. I'm going to say the Rockers.
All right. And everybody that picked the Rockers is correct.
Hmm.
Yep.
So it is Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty coming in at number 15. Eric, we'll start with you because I know Shawn Michaels was one of your favorites. How do you feel about them, A, being on the list, and B, their placement?
I'm not surprised by the fans because there's a trend going on, as some people alluded to earlier. So I'm not surprised. Should they be top 15? Should they be 15? I say they should have been top 10 because they were one of the best tag teams in the late 80s, early 90s, until Shawn turned on Marty. It's kind of surprising that, not surprising, you're on the list, on top 15, so it's okay. Not happy about it, but it is what it is.
Eric, just be happy they made the list. All right, Kenny.
You know, this is a really interesting choice for me because it's strange. On the one hand, they provided one of the most, you know, unforgettable moments of wrestling in my childhood, right up there with Randy Savage and Jake the Snake, you know, with the Cobra, Shawn throwing him through the barbershop window. However, I was never that big of a fan of them together. Like, as a team, I mean, they were an adequate tag team, and I think their matches, their best work was against Playboy Buddy Rose and Doug Summers in AWA. So, you know, this is a fine place to place them. And I got to say, whether the story is true or not, I don't know, but it's funny, and it kind of winds up with other things I've heard about how in touch the Gagnes were with the current world. Supposedly, the original name the Gagnes wanted them to do was the Country Rockers. Their minds, the Midnight Rockers, were too much like rocking chairs. I don't know about anybody else, but when you said, I think Country Rockers, rocking chair more there.
Well, now I'm thinking a Cracker Barrel and I'm hungry.
Yeah, that's a Cracker Barrel, right? Yeah, so, yeah, that's a... That's my take on it. So, yeah, I have a very weird relationship with this team in terms of fandom. I am both very, you know, they're indelibly stuck in my head, but they never blew me away as a tag team.
Right. I mean, I'm cool with them being on the list. 15, I'm not sure about. I mean, you know, they were a good team. They were innovative for their time. But I do agree with Kenny. Like, I think their best work was in the AWA against Rose and Summers. They made the list. Good for them. All right, Bob, how do you feel about them being on the list and their placement?
15 is about right. I think if they'd stayed together longer, they would have probably ended up higher on the list. You know, Michaels is a breakout star, and Jannetty, while a good role player, didn't have breakout singles all over him. And so, you go with your money, you make Michaels your money man, and you're done with Marty Jannetty. So it's not a bad place.
Right. All right. Boxman.
I think the placement's fine. I really don't have any issues with it at all. I do want to say I'm glad that I'm wrong. I hope that puts Ivan and Nikita higher up on the list. That'd be definitely fine with me. I mean, they were a great tag team, the Rockers, but I mean, to be honest, the most talked about thing they ever did was break up.
The barbershop, man.
Yeah.
I was there that night when they filmed that. So it was the night they did the Tuesday in Texas or pay-per-view was the night they actually filmed that. So it didn't air for like 4 more months. I was going, what the hell? They broke up. Why are they still together on TV?
And I can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, that's like the most talked about thing they ever did was break up. And luckily, we now have crazy Marty Jannetty to follow on Facebook and get some great laughs out of.
Yeah.
Daniel had his back scratched by Marty Jannetty at a convention.
It was more of a massage. But me and Marty did share a very intimate moment.
Too much information.
I apologize, but I love Marty Jannetty. I love Shawn Michaels. They were a great tag team. They probably would not be on my list, but there's a lot of great tag teams. But the Midnight, did they win the tag titles, or was it like a taping deal or something like that?
In the WWF, they were scheduled to win the titles because Jim Neidhart was losing his job.
Okay.
But what happened was in the second fall of a 2 out of 3 falls match, the rope broke.
Okay.
And the match just was horrible after that. So they decided, you know what, let's just get rid of this.
But they technically won the titles in the match, right?
Yeah.
But they just scrapped it.
Yeah, they just scrapped it because nobody had seen it yet, and Brett was pissed. And
gotcha. But yeah, I'm not too mad about the placement. I understand.
And I know Boxman's feeling. I know Boxman gets upset every time he hears that Brett got his feelings hurt. No, he's such a big admirer of Bret Hart's.
Poor Brett.
Okay. So,
all right.
We're now at number 14. And Bob, we'll start with you. Is number 14 A of... Where am I going here? All right. Is it A, the Nasty Boys? B, the British Bulldogs? Or C, Doom?
I'm going to say this is the Nasty Boys.
Okay. Foxman.
I'm going to go Doom here. Excuse me, Doom.
Okay. Kenny.
I'm going to say Nasties.
All right. Eric.
What were the options? The call ended for me.
All right. It was A, the Nasty Boys, B, the British Bulldogs, or C, Doom.
I'm going to go Doom.
And Daniel.
Nasties would probably be in my top 10, so I'll go Doom.
It was Ron Simmons and Butch Reed, the team of Doom.
Okay.
So we are getting closer to Boxman picking our next poll.
Oh, shit.
And he was he was in the disadvantage, remember?
Yeah.
Underdog.
And we like underdogs on this show. All right. So it was Doom, Ron Simmons, and Butch Reed. This is Ron Simmons' second appearance on this countdown.
Yeah.
All right. Boxman, do they deserve to be on the list, and is this the right placement for them?
Deserve to be on the list, I guess you could kind of argue that one all day. I mean, hey, they had a name at least, right? So, and by the way, that was like the third time you said it. Eventually, if I just kept picking Doom, I was going to be right. So, you know, by elimination, I was kind of right on that one. That was a guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really don't have a – I mean, like I said, it's arguable whether they belong on a list like this. Honestly, I kind of thought they would be lower, like where you mentioned them before. But here we are, and they're not. So, like I said, you could argue it all day. But me, personally, I think they would be lower, but I don't have a problem with them being on a top 25 list or something, somewhere down there.
Right. Eric.
I mean, I never saw them again, but I think it's probably the right placement.
Okay. Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, I like Doom a lot. I think they deserve to be on this list more than the APA. I don't know if that's a controversial take, so I'm glad that they're higher than the APA. I think that's Ron Simmons' better tag team. So, kind of the same thing with Harlem Heat, two badass, you know, jacked-looking dudes that can, you know, destroy you. And both of them could work pretty decent. And, you know, it's not one where it's like, oh, Ron Simmons is the star, or Butch Reed's the star. I just think they were a really good, well-oiled machine tag team. Yeah, I liked them a lot.
Okay, Kenny.
Well, this is Doom is I think is like such an interesting tag team because like looking back on it, like you look at them and you're like, well, how could anybody think it? It wasn't those two guys, right? Like because just the way they work and just their look, you know, even in masks, like there was nobody who knew what they were doing in a wrestling ring, who were that size. And so it's amazing to think that it worked, but it was a really interesting feud. I mean, they were put right into the thing with, you know, the Steiners, and they also, you know, they were right in the top as a tag team as soon as they started. I mean, and they, you know, they wrestled all the tag teams that were around, and they even did the, you know, the biggest thing was the culmination, like the, I don't know if you'd call it a feud so much as, well, it didn't start as a feud, but it became a feud with the Horsemen, right? And it was just one of those things that it just worked.
Right.
And then eventually they turned, and they were just, you know, Rod Simmons, we already talked about Butch Reed. The classic thing about Butch Reed is that, you know, I think was said on the Mid-South DVD that WWE released. The only thing that the Junkyard Dog had more than Butch Reed was charisma. Was better at than Butch Reed was charisma because everything else Butch Reed had it too, and he was charismatic too. When he wasn't saddled with some weird gimmick like the Natural. So yeah, Doom is two guys who I think get lost in the shuffle in the history of wrestling, and certainly a tag team that forgets where the, you know, that era of Jim Crockett Promotions, NWA, whatever you want to call it, they get forgotten about. So yeah, good placement, good on the list.
Okay, all right, and Bob.
If I had to have chosen which of those three teams you listed were the one that wasn't going to be on the list at all, I would have picked Doom. So it's all lists are subjective, right? It's not where I would put them, but good for them. I'm glad they made it.
Right. Now, did you, because Butch Reed is another person that was in Global, but he got there after you had already left, right?
Yeah. Yeah. After the first year I was out, so.
Okay. All right,
now Butch Reed's a tremendous athlete. Ron Simmons, tremendous athlete. Wouldn't take anything against either one of them. I just don't care for the team, you know.
Right. I mean, they were never my favorite team either. And to be honest with you, like they weren't together very long.
No.
Like year and a half. But yeah, I mean, they got 210 votes. Right, that was their final tally. All right, so let's move on to number 13. Daniel, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Is it A, the New Age Outlaws,
mm-hmm.
B, the Hollywood Blondes, or C, Edge and Christian?
Let's go Outlaws.
All right, Bob?
This is tough because I want to say Outlaws, but I think I'm going to go with Edge and Christian.
All right, Boxman.
I'm going to go Hollywood Blondes.
Kenny?
I'm going to say choice B.
Which was the Blondes, right?
Yep.
No. Whatever wasn't Edge and Christian are the blondes, whatever the middle choice was.
Outlaws. No, New Age Outlaws were the first choice.
Yeah, the Outlaws, yeah. Okay, the first choice. Okay.
All right, so you're going Outlaws?
Yep.
Okay. Eric.
I'm going blind. I'm blind.
All right. It's the New Age Outlaws.
Okay.
The Road Dog and Badass Billy Gunn. And so, I mean, I'm cool with, obviously I was a huge fan of theirs, and so I'm definitely happy with them being on the list. I'm surprised they're actually where they're at. To be honest with you, I actually thought they were going to be lower.
Yeah.
So, all right, Daniel, what do you think?
I mean, I think a lot of people would say top 10, and I understand that. I think it's kind of hard with them because that Attitude Era tag team division, it's not the greatest. It had a lot of good, you know, young up-and-coming teams that were coming, the gonna-be stars, and they did have some sleeper picks with, like, the APA and stuff, but I don't think they always had the best competition and the best people to work with. I mean, their stuff with, like, Terry Funk and Mick Foley was awesome, and, you know, they kind of had an aging LOD to work with that, you know, was a little past their prime, and I love LOD. They better be on here. But they didn't always have the best programs, but for their legacy as a team and everything they did, and then, you know, joining DX, and, like, for the Attitude Era, like, they were huge. And, like, even when you, like, think of the Attitude Era, that's one of the things you think of, not just Austin and Rock. You think of the Outlaws. So I think that means a lot. I think this is a good placement for them.
Okay. All right, Kenny.
Hello. Yes. This is a good since I picked them, I think this is a good place. I think, this is definitely a great – one of the better ideas of throwing two guys together because they picked up the other's deficiencies so well. Road Dogg, of course, is one of the Armstrongs, and like his brothers, they all got a part of the complete package from their father, Bullet Bob, but they only got a part of it. So Road Dogg got the ability to talk, but he didn't, and it was fine. He was okay worker, but he didn't blow anybody out of the water. And, you know, Billy was the athlete. He was the guy who was going to do the crazy moves and, you know, leg drops off the top. You know, all that stuff, all the athletic stuff. So Road Dogg talked, Billy did the work, and it worked as a team. And, you know, it's funny, when you think about things that make a tag team, like they never had, like, a move or, you know, they didn't have a finish or anything like we would traditionally associate with tag teams. And they were a big deal. And like Daniel brought up, the thing about the WWF was that, or E, or whatever you want to say, was they would never, after a certain point, like probably the mid-80s, they definitely were never a big tag team territory, but they certainly became one even less of one. So they definitely stood out because it was a tag team that got over big in a place that didn't necessarily think of tag teams as a draw.
Right. All right. Boxman, what do you think of the Outlaws' placement here?
I'm good with it. I mean, they were a really great tag team, especially back in the Attitude Era. And, awesome talkers, decent matches. Like Kenny had said over there, I definitely agree with that. But, if you think back, the Attitude Era was more about talking and bra and panty matches and, you know, more than the big... I mean, if we got great matches, they were just bonuses to the Attitude Era. But, Stone Cold and everything, we definitely, and The Rock and all that, we did get some great matches. But like I said, they were bonuses. No issues with it. I thought they were a great tag team. I think that's probably a damn good spot for them right there.
Okay. All right. Bob?
I'd have probably put them higher, but I think it's probably because of the association with DX. As a tag team on their own, it's just probably a good place to stand them.
Right. Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. All right, Eric.
Yeah, they were one of my favorite tag teams in the Attitude Era too. They sound about right. I don't think they're exactly top 10, but they're not outside top 15, so this is perfect place, I think.
Okay. All right, so we're at number 12, and Boxman, we'll start with you. Who made it to number 12? Was it A, the Dudley Boys, B, Demolition, or C, Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood?
What was the first one?
The first one, I had the Dudley Boys.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dudley's.
All right, Daniel.
I'm going to go Dudley still.
All right, Eric.
Steamboat and Young.
Okay. Kenny.
Steamboat and Youngblood.
All right, Bob.
I think the Dudleys rank higher on this list, so I'm going to go with Demolition.
All right. Well, I might get put through a table for this. It was Bubba Ray and D-Von. It was the Dudleys.
Wow. Nice.
They came in at number 12. I was kind of shocked myself because the original poll that I put up in the old school wrestling group, they were like 6 or 7. And then
And then
in another poll I put up, you know, they were 3. And then, you know, other polls I just kept putting up, like they were not getting love at all. So they ended up at number 12. So Boxman, we'll start with you. Is there an issue? Do you have an issue with their placement on this list?
Even though I guessed it, I did think they would be higher. But again, this is like the second time you mentioned them. Just thought I'd throw it in there again. I actually did think they'd be a little bit higher. It actually makes sense when you had them, you know, 3rd and 6th. That sounds more of where I'd probably put them. I mean, you know, I don't care if you're a fan of the guys or not, if you're a fan of Bubba Ray or not, the guys have been doing this forever, and they have been over everywhere they went. Crowds love them, and it's sad. Now, D-Von can't wrestle again after his surgery now, so we'll never see it again. But like I said, I definitely thought they'd be higher on the list.
Right. I mean, yeah, I thought they were going to be, and again, you know, Box, like you just said, you know, you might not like them. I personally do not like Bubba Dudley.
Yeah.
We're not obviously going to get into that. But they were one of the greatest tag teams, especially in that decade of the 2000s.
Mm, yeah.
So the fact that they're outside that top 10 is just, it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Daniel.
They definitely deserve to be here. They'd be in my top 10. Revolutionized the game. Did so many different things. Went different places and was equally successful in different places. Their TNA run was good.
Yeah.
And most people, you can't really say that. Their TNA run was good. They were awesome. Obviously, the old ECW stuff's a lot of people's favorites, but then they came to the WWF and, you know, TLC, and what can't you say about the Dudleys? They are definitely one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Charisma, they both could talk. They both had their different catchphrases. They both had their different characters and mannerisms, and they both could work and brought different styles to the ring. So more of that hardcore style, but it was awesome. Love the Dudleys.
Right. All right. Eric.
I'm very, very surprised they're not in the top, at least top 10. I thought they were going to be top 5 for sure. So I do have a big problem with this. They're one of the greatest tag teams of all time, in my opinion. They were legends in each promotion they've been in, ECW, WWE, TNA, Were they in New Japan too?
Yeah.
And they win titles. Yeah. Japan. Everywhere they went, they won tag team titles. And to me, that's top five.
All right. Bob, let me pose a different question to you. Is the bigger problem here the fact that the Dudley Boys are outside of the top 10, or the fact that Undertaker and Kane made the list, you know, at all?
I am not, you know, the Dudley Boys aren't my cup of tea. I don't really care for them, but I know that they're extraordinarily popular. I'm shocked that they're not in the top 10. And,
right, yeah.
You know, Undertaker and Kane, we already went over that, but I'm shocked they're not in the top 10. I'm shocked they're not in the top five, to be honest, although there's a lot of great teams still to go on the list.
Yeah, I mean, we still got a lot more to go. Again, like I said, I'm shocked that they're not there just because of, like, where they started out, like, when I started the initial polls. All right, Kenny, how do you feel about this?
You know, for me, like, they should have been higher. For me, like, they're one of the few teams that I rated them so high because they are famous for being a team, right? You know, like, Bubba Ray won the Impact title, blah, 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 piece of shit. But they were famous because of being a tag team, and especially at the time, if you weren't already, you know, that for the 90s, those were guys who, that was not something that was, you know, common, where a team was a star as a team, right? This was a throwback to, like, the Valiants and the Grahams, these, you know, even though, the, you know, which actually is a good point, because both of those were also pretend brother teams. And I kind of just, like, you know, kind of, in, there's kind of a, you know, they're based on the Hanson brothers from Slapshot, which is something that's near and dear to hearts of people from Buffalo, because anytime you go to a Sabres game, there's guys there dressed like the Hanson brothers. And, I even like the goofier, you know, before they all showed up, like Dudley and danced with Dudley and all that crazy stuff. And, you know, they brought, like, a circus atmosphere, and they eventually got, you know, two of the most interesting people to ever be in ECW between, you know, they got Louis DeAngelis, sign guy, and who now, like, is the most successful man in the history of ECW. He does, like, something for Cirque du Soleil in the management. And then they got Gert Gertner in there, who was, you know, a guy who was like three credits away from graduating from Cornell. Really interesting guys, and the whole thing was fun. And then, you know, the fact that, you know, they were guys who were huge in ECW, went to the WWE, were treated like crap, and yet somehow, because of their personalities, their work ethic, whatever you want to say to it, they got over and became the Dudleys again, if you will. You know, then they became, you know, and it's amazing to think about the transition. Like Bubba, you know, Bubba at the time was a semi-cult fan favorite. And, like, he got the crowd to interact in ways as a good guy when he was doing the dancing and the stuttering and all that. In a similar way that he would get them to interact when he was a bad guy. And it just worked. It worked, and, you know, for all, it's the closest thing anybody our age or younger, the hatred Bubba Ray got would be the closest thing to anything, you know, like the Midnight Express got in Homo, Louisiana, or the Blackjacks, where people wanted to actually kill them. I mean, it was nowhere near that, but, like, that's the closest we'll ever see it, was the hatred they had for Bubba. So, yeah, I would have placed them higher, and I like them a lot. So there it is.
The interesting thing here, Doug, is I've got 12 teams listed now in my top. Well, I have my top 12 still listed, and we're at 11. So one of my top 12 is not even going to make the list.
Uh-oh. And I, you know,
I can't wait to find out who that is, although I'm kind of scared because I'm sure it's one of the teams.
And there may be more than one, depending on how things, you know, turn out. But
right. All right, so we're at number 11. All right, and Bob, we'll start with you. Is number 11 A, the Wild Samoans, B, Steve Williams and Terry Gordy, or C, the Hart Foundation?
All right, the Wild Samoans are my number 12 pick, so I think I'm going to go with them here.
Okay. All right, Boxman.
I'm going to go with Williams and Gordy.
Dang him.
I'll agree. Williams and Gordy, what
okay.
you just said.
Okay. I didn't know he was going with that or not.
It's okay.
All right. Eric.
The fact that the Good Boys were number 12, I'm going to go with Hart Foundation.
All right. Kenny.
If they are the pick, or if they get on the list, we'll talk about then. But I would go Samoans.
All right. It is Steve Williams and Terry Gordy.
Yeah. Okay.
The Miracle Violence connection came in at number 11. I mean, you know, they were a team that ruled Japan. They had a decent, you know, they had a decent run in WCW. They were the unified tag team champions. You know, this is Terry Gordy's second trip on the list. Of Boxman, how do you feel about their placement?
I think it's probably a good spot for them. I do have to admit I didn't see a bunch of their work, haven't seen a bunch of their work. I mean, separately, I've seen plenty of their work, but together, really didn't see much of it. But really got no problem with them being where they are on the list.
Okay. Daniel.
Yeah, that's where I'd put them. I'm fine. I'm just glad they made the list. I was getting worried they weren't gonna. So
right. I think after earlier when they didn't make this spot that we thought they were gonna make, it's just like, oh crap, are they gonna get mentioned again?
I'm surprised they're at what, 12 or 11?
11.
I'm surprised they're 11, but hell yeah. Dr. Death and Terry Gordy, what more can you say about them? I'm glad Gordy's on this list multiple times. He's one of the best tag team wrestlers of all time. And one of the best workers anyway, but.
Right. Bob, how do you feel about their placement?
I'm glad they're on the list. I think they're a terrific team. It kind of makes me afraid for what the Samoans have coming up. So I think that means they didn't make it. But I would not argue with Steve Williams and Terry Gordy being on any tag team list.
Okay. All right. Kenny.
Oh, wow. Terry Gordy, Steve Dr. Death Williams, guys who, like, yeah, they became big stars, but, like, have they been born, like, 2 years, 3 years later, they would have been even bigger stars. I mean, you people forget, like, Terry Gordy was only 40 when he died. Like, he was so young when he started wrestling. And from all accounts, he picked it up right away. And, you know, two guys who were legitimately tough and perhaps unstable in a fun sense that they might do anything. And, you know, there were guys also who, you know, they were legit. And, you know, Doc was real legit. And Cordy looked like was so big you wouldn't, like, you know, you wouldn't mess with him. And Doc was Doc. And they were a tag team, you know. Brutal suplexes, hard hits, big guys who could move at incredible speeds. In a way, it makes sense that their biggest, you know, some of their biggest times in Japan because they, you know, even though, yes, they both had tremendous personalities, they were, you know, there was so many other people competing in the U.S. with, you know, size-wise and personality-wise, where they, in Japan, there was no one with that legit sports background kind of thing who were that big or were that crazy and charismatic. And they were just a team like, you know, you wouldn't believe because the test of Miracle Violence Connection. What more can be said than the team name? That's all you need to know, and you have a perfect picture in your mind of what these guys are going to do. And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. Nothing else.
Right. All right. Eric, how do you feel about it? Well, Eric, you really didn't know much about them, right?
No, I mean, Steve Williams, I mean, we did retrospective on him a couple years ago. So it sounds about right for them from what others have said. So I agree.
Okay. All right. We're in the top 10, guys. All right. Number 10, Eric, we'll start with you. Is number 10 A, the where do we want to go here? Is number 10 A, the Steiner Brothers, B, the Mega Powers, or C, Ivan and Nikita Koloff?
I'm going to go Ivan and Ivan and what's his name?
Just say the Koloff.
The Koloff.
Okay. All right, Daniel.
It better not be the Mega Powers. I'm going Koloff.
All right, Boxman.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to agree with the Koloff too. I'm hoping that'd be a good spot. I like that. Go ahead.
All right, Bob.
Steiners.
All right, and Kenny.
I'm going to go with Bob. Steiners would be what I would guess.
Coming in at number 10, Ivan and Nikita Koloff.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
All right. Daniel, we'll start with you on this one.
Huge soft spot for Ivan Koloff. Legend. And Nikita made for a hell of a Russian. Great tag team. I love them together. I think 10's a good spot. They'd probably close out my top 10. Some people might say that's a little too high, but I think for anybody that's seen the two work together and have numerous programs with other legendary tag teams, I think this is a perfect spot for the Koloffs. The Steiners definitely deserve to be here, too. I don't know if they are, but they do.
All right. Boxman, you grew up in the Carolinas, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did, sir.
All right. So, obviously, you know, this has got to feel good for you that this team is in the top 10.
They'd be in my top 10, most definitely. Yeah, I mean, I did grow up in Carolina. To be honest with you, my dad knew Nikita. At the same Rock and Roll Express show I've talked about where, you know, the Ricky fell on me, Robert spit on me. Nikita actually did, you know, growled and hulked up at my father, and my dad said, "Go ahead, come at me, you pussy," and he kind of walked away. It was a setup, I found out later, as more of an adult, but this team right here, love them. They were great together. They were awesome. Just, I'm glad they're right there. That's, like I said, they'd definitely be in my top 10, maybe even higher on my personal top 10.
Right. All right. Eric.
I mean, they sound like a great tag team, so this sounds about right.
I keep forgetting that a lot of these tag teams are not in your wheelhouse.
It's okay. Right. I'm learning.
All right. Bob, how do you feel about their placement?
Because I also went to high school in Northern Virginia, so we were exposed a lot to Mid-Atlantic wrestling. And I would think of Ivan and Nikita as individuals more than the team. I mean, I know they did team together quite a bit, but I really, when I think of them, I think of Nikita as a standalone act. And of course, Ivan from before in his WWF days. They're a great team, and I'm happy for them that they're on this list at number 10. It's not where I would put them. I'd probably put them about 20, 22 somewhere, but
okay.
List to list, right?
Right.
Plus,
right.
I'm doing
Kenny
terrible
Barry,
at your contest, so this just makes me really mad.
Yeah.
All right, Kenny, very quickly.
Very quickly, huh? What can
you
say
about... Well, we have 33 minutes and 9 teams still to go.
Hey, you know what? You're the one who sets up the list. You could have done the top 15 or top 10.
Yeah, it's okay. We got less to choose from now, so let's talk about.
Yeah, okay. So right off those, all I got to say is they're the only stereotypical tag team doing a stereotype, but a stereotype would probably be approved of by the people they were representing. Right? Tough guys who will do anything for the people, for their comrades, right? So there, that we'll say that.
Okay. All right. So we're at number 9, and this one, without trying to give it away, I'm not even going to say it because I might actually give it away. But Kenny, we'll start with you. Is number 9 A, Kevin and Kerry Von Erich, B, Demolition, or C, the Hollywood Blondes?
Demolition.
All right. Daniel.
Demolition.
Boxman.
Von Erich.
Bob.
Demolition.
Eric.
Von Erich.
It's the Blondes.
Oh,
number
my
nine?
God. What a shock.
They made number 9?
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy shit.
What?
You know how I said there's going to be a few on here to where you guys are going to be like, what the fuck?
I thought 20 was too high. I mean, I love the Blondes, but damn.
Not one of us is the Blondes here. Not one of us.
Wow. Yeah. And here's the funny thing, and I'll get into this real quick. It was very tight between them, the Koloffs, and Williams and Gordy.
Jeez.
But the tiebreaker put them at 9.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go first quick. The Hollywood Blondes are a great team. I think 9 is pretty high. I mean, it's... I don't know if they're a top 10 tag team of all time, but Brian Pillman and Steve Austin at young points in their career, if a young fan wants to come in and watch it and get into tag team wrestling, that is a tag team I would show. The Hollywood Blondes were great. Early WCW, one of those teams that got broken up a little too early. We know what both guys would go on to do, so two stars in their own right. I don't know if I agree with the placement, but they are a great tag team.
All right. Eric.
It sounds too high, but I'm a big Austin fan,
think you're the only one that's actually okay with this.
Yeah.
All right. Box.
Wow. I would have not put them this high. I mean, you know, like I said, we're talking about Brian Pillman and Steve Austin here. You know, we got two guys individually on their own that were excellent, but this team didn't even last that long, did it?
No, were they even together 6 months?
I think it was like a 10-month run at the most, those two guys together. I think. I might be wrong, which is why I wouldn't put them this high on the list. So anyway, I have kids coming in, so I'm done.
All right. Bob.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of two guys whose career afterwards somehow got them on this list, because as a team, there's no way this is a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Right. And Kenny.
There's a lot of truth in that idea, but I think here's the catch, right? We would have got something out of them, but had they continued to tag team, the great stuff we would have got to them as a team would have meant no Pillman and the Horsemen and no Stone Cold. So it's a toss-up, you know, because I think the situation has been a little different, stayed together a little longer. But for what they did, though, they were in the top, right? I mean, how many other people, you know, could go on national television and make fun of Ric Flair? You know, while he's in the company, not just in wrestling. I mean,
right.
Shane Douglas could do it, but he couldn't affect his career. But these guys were in the same company going out there, you know, really mocking Flair pretty hard. And I like them. I think, again, potential and who they became put them on the list than actually what happened.
Right. All right. We're at number 8. Daniel, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
Is number 8 Arn Anoli? Or A, Arn Anoli, B, Arn and Tully, or C, the Midnight Express?
Arn and Tully.
All right. Bob?
Midnight Express better be ranked way higher than 8, so Arn and Tully.
All right. Eric?
Arn and Tully.
What was Arn and Tully, the Express, and who else?
Arn and Oli.
I'm going to say Arn and Tully.
All right, Boxman.
Unanimously, Arn and Tully.
Oh, boy, this is...
Give it
it's
to
the
no.
Midnight.
Oh.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm going to revoke the voting rights of every one of your fans.
Your fans are... No, I will refuse. Oh, my God.
I don't think we'll ever get them on a show.
Anyway.
I mean, they're my one. I made my own list. They're my one. So.
Yeah, I put that again, and very quick. I'll say this very quickly. We started the original list. Okay, the original poll that was on the old school wrestling group. They were 3.
Yeah.
Okay. In another poll, they were 2. And then they're 8.
1, 2, or 3. They got to be in the top 3.
Yeah, they'd be 2 on my list. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I was going to say, does anybody have any grievances here they want to air? Daniel, you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. Kenny, we were talking about heel teams earlier. Would you say Midnight Express is the best heel tag team of all time? Not up there.
I would say they're the best heel tag team of all time, period.
Yes.
Maybe one or two other teams I could think of
would
surpass them. Whether heel now, granted, they weren't as great as a heel team or face team because it's a package, right? It's not just it's them and Cornette, and for the most part, unless you're just so over you can't be stopped, a babyface manager just basically stands there with his balls in his hand and does nothing. So, but yeah, that's all I got to say is like this is literally. I don't use this word lightly, but travesty is, like, up there.
Right. All right. So anybody else got anything they want to, you know, curse against the people that voted them in 8?
Yes, I'm blaming this on
the just hope Jim Cornette's not listening to this.
I'm blaming it on the people that hate Cornette voted on this. That's what I'm blaming Cornette.
Somebody tweet that to him.
No.
nah.
Bob, you were...
I'll get Kenny to tweet it to him.
Yeah. Are they even friends anymore?
No. Gosh, no.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Have
Bolin torment Cornette. Actually, have Bolin get Vince Russo to do it.
There you go. It'd be just as bad.
Yeah.
All right. Enough with your dumb fans. Next, number 7. Let's go.
All right. Yeah. All right. So we got number 7. Eric, we'll start with you. Is number 7 the British Bulldogs, the Wild Samoans, or the Rock and Roll Express?
I'm going, logic says Wild Samoan. I'm going to go Rock and Roll Express since Midnight with number 8.
All right. Boxman.
Oh, it better not be Rock and Roll Express. It's fucking, no. They better be up there more. What was the first choice again?
The first choice was the
Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs.
I'm going to go with the Bulldogs.
All right, Bob.
Gosh, the fact that you had to go look to see that the British Bulldogs were the first choice actually scares me. I don't need the points. I'm going to go Rock and Roll Express. Oh, I don't believe they belong here, but I'm looking for points at this point.
Hurt my heart.
All right, Kenny.
Well, seeing as logic has been beaten to an inch of its life and maybe further, I got to say Rock and Roll Express at this point.
Daniel.
Well, I had Midnight at 1, Rock and Roll at 3. So since we just did Midnight, let's go Rock and Roll Express.
Okay, everybody can breathe. It was the Bulldogs.
Okay. Thank God.
Okay.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I agree with the placement. I think they did, number 8 is a perfect spot for them. Dynamite and Davey.
We're at 7.
7, even better. I think Davey and Dynamite, great tag team. Apparently hilarious in the locker room, even though some people, you know, didn't appreciate some of that stuff. But in the ring, just fantastic. The Bulldogs definitely deserve to be in the top 10.
Okay. Real quick, does anybody have anything else they want to say about the Bulldogs before we move on?
Oh, yeah, I do. Really, I think nothing wrong with these guys, nothing, you know, any of the things, like, I guess maybe if they had got off the gas and weren't doing a ton of drugs, they would have been better human beings. You know, I do have some respect for how much Dynamite gave of his body for the business, but at the same time, had they been anywhere else, I don't think they would have been finally remembered.
Well, pre-WWF Bulldogs were a whole different team because of the steroids. I mean, Davey Boy was a tremendous, you look at his stuff in Japan, absolutely a fabulous technical wrestler. And you're right, the steroids changed them, but if they had been presented as the team they were in Canada, they're a fabulous, fabulous team.
Obviously Rock and Roll wasn't number 7, so Boxman doesn't have to punch out his computer. all right, moving on, we got number 6. Bob, we'll start with you. Is number 6 A, the Road Warriors, B, the Hart Foundation, or C, the Nasty Boys?
Hart Foundation.
All right. Boxman.
I'm going to go Nasty Boys.
This logic doesn't exist. I'm going to go LOD.
Kenny.
Nasties.
Daniel?
I'm going Nasties.
It's the Hearts.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm on the comeback trail.
real quick, because we are getting a little bit low on time. Anybody have anything quick they want to say about the Hearts and their placement?
Great tag team.
Boxman, you're the president of the Bret Hart fan club.
I'll remain quiet, sir, as to not start any arguments or take up more time. Thank you.
Discretion is the better part of valor.
Yeah.
One of the top 5. All right.
Top five.
All right. So, Daniel, start with you.
Okay.
A, Steiner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
B, Arn and Tully. C, Wild Samoans.
Let's go Arn and Tully for number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go Arn and Tully.
All right, Bob?
Steiners.
Eric?
Steiners.
Boxman?
Steiners.
And Kenny?
I'm no longer voting since I don't have a prayer of winning this, so who cares?
All right.
And it will speed things up. So,
should I stop too? I think I'm sucking ass.
You're actually not.
Okay, cool.
I mean, you're still a couple behind, but you can make a All right. It is the Steiners.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Obviously, I mean, they're actually one of my favorite. I would have put them, to be honest with you, they're in my top three. I love these guys. But that's just me. Anybody got anything they want to say on Ricky and Scotty real quick?
Great athletes.
Better, so.
These guys are great athletes. They always have been. Scott might have changed his whole look and physique and everything in the later days, but that tag team together, they were a fucking amazing tag team together. I fucking loved watching them back when I was a kid.
Oh, they were great, yeah.
Yep, five, they'd be in my top five also.
Yeah, underrated personality and character, too.
Right.
I think a lot of people just look – I mean, very great athletes, but they really made it pop when they were in the ring, too, and their promos. Even as, like, baby faces, they never felt bland to me.
Okay. Bob, you guys –
and legit guys.
Legit.
Totally legit guys, too, you know.
Yeah. Bob, you want to say – you have anything to say on the Steiners real quick?
Steiner math rules.
Yeah. All right. Top four, gentlemen.
Perfect.
Is it – all right, and Eric, we'll start with you again. Is it A
– Sweet.
Or is number four A, Rock and Roll Express, B, Demolition, or C, Edge and Christian?
Edge and Christian shouldn't be in the top five. But since logic doesn't exist – Edge and Christian.
All right, Kenny. Or actually, no, Kenny's not even voting anymore. Never mind. Dang.
Demolition.
Boxman.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think Demolition.
All right, Bob.
Demolition.
It is Axe and Smash Demolition.
Not Crush?
Him too. Is anybody like shocked, or as shocked as I am, that they're number four and the Midnights were number eight? Doesn't it feel
yes.
like it?
Yes.
It should have been a flip flop.
Yeah.
Yes.
At least a flip flop, if not an outright flip flop, and then the Midnight should have been about three more higher.
Yeah. But Demolition definitely deserves to be here in the top ten. Awesome tag team. You know, weird ring gear, but that's okay.
The only thing I would say is that, you know, these guys get knocked for being LOD ripoffs, and to some extent that's true, but at the same time, they actually, you know, wrestled, actually had wrestling matches, not just beat the Jesus out of guys. And you know, and then lost if they had to. But no, these guys actually put on a wrestling match and something you'd recognize as a wrestling match as opposed to just a beating.
Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else they want to say on them before we move on?
I'm good.
Axe had that great pre-career as the masked, terrific.
Masked superstar, right?
Masked superstar, yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah. He had one of the coolest things I ever saw. He put a guy in a cobra clutch, got him down on the ground, and, like, did a handstand and then slammed his leg back down. Holy crap. Back then, I would have thought he broke the guy's neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're at number three. Because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here.
Yeah.
All right. Eric, is it A, the Road Warriors, B, Arn and Tully, or C, Arn and Ole?
Road Warriors.
All right. Boxman?
I'm hoping for the Road Warriors, too.
Daniel?
I'm sticking with Arn and Tully.
All right. Bob?
I have the Road Warriors as my number one or two team, so I'm going to go with Arn and Tully.
It's Arn and Tully.
Sweet.
Oh, okay.
Aaron and Tully are number three. I'm going to go ahead and spoil it now. This is the only Arn Anderson team to make the countdown.
Okay.
Arn and Ole didn't make it.
Would everybody agree? Do we think that Arn and Tully is a better combination than Arn and Ole?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm surprised that Gene and Ole didn't make the list, because Gene and Ole were a better team than Arn and Ole.
That weird – Ole just, you know, he started – I think he was in a weird position where he's kind of – he lost the spark he had with Gene, and Arn was just, I mean, he's Arn Anderson. What else can you say?
Right.
Legend. Absolute legend.
Boxman, again, you're a Carolina guy. How do you feel about this?
Good. Good. Good spot for him. Great team together. I love those both those guys together. Tully was always just awesome to me. I just thought he was just as a little guy, you know, a smaller guy, especially in front of Arn, just always did great. Awesome. Good spot.
Right. All right. Top two.
Okay.
All right. Fox is number two. The Road Warriors, the Wild Samoans, or the Rock and Roll Express?
Road Warriors again.
All right, Daniel.
I go Road Warriors.
Eric.
Road Warriors.
Bob.
I'm going to choose Rock and Roll simply to try to gain points.
Rock and Roll.
They'd be my number one, but that's just me.
I was going contrarian in order to try to pick up a point.
There you go. Good job. All
right. I mean, they are – and, Box, I know you're a huge Rock and Roll Express fan. I've known that since the day I met you.
Yeah, me too.
They had a huge following wherever they went.
Most definitely, for a very long time, and still to this day. I mean, I know they're doing the farewell tour now, but I mean, even when they were doing the indies, last year, the year before, they were still getting plenty of attention. And personally, they'd be my number one, but number two, that ain't so shabby, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and the only thing I'd say about them is that they always had to work babyface, right? They never really got an opportunity to work heel, which the Warriors worked both ways, and that was the only thing that would tip it in their favor, is my opinion, as far as I'm concerned. But the 1A, 1B.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. To me, them and the Midnight's best rivalry of all time.
Right.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would say that, especially when it comes to tag team rivalry. Like, some people might say
rivalry for me.
I mean, anybody, you know, people would say, oh, tag team rivalry, you got to look at the TLC teams. Well, newsflash, only one of those TLC teams made this list.
So the Hardy Boys aren't number one?
No. all right, I'm going to...
Hey, real quick here about the Rock and Rolls. Hey, you know, guys who know every trick in the book about how to get every single ounce and dollar out of the fans they could. They got the emotion. They knew how to sell their gimmicks. They were over, you know, in a way that, you know, people think, you know, Cena or whoever goes out and is over, that, like, you will never, again, something we'll never see again. And, you know, and a great example of guys who knew their role and played them. Ricky Morton was there to set up the dinner, and Robert's job was to serve it, and they did it almost flawlessly every time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So are we going to build up anticipation to have us all pick, or are we just going to announce Legion of Doom as our number one choice? I can't see them not making the list.
I mean, I was only going to give two choices.
Okay.
All right.
either the Legion of Doom or the... Does anybody think the Samoans had a chance at beating Legion of Doom and getting number one?
No.
And I love the Wild Samoans. Yeah.
I do too.
They should...
Go ahead.
I'm surprised they're not on the list. They should be on the list just purely from what they've done for the business in terms of people they've not only produced as family members but trained as well.
Right.
They're on this list, and Undertaker and Kane are on the list. And
yeah,
they're not.
That's a crime.
That's a travesty. Neil, we may have a lot more casual fans voting than we're understanding. I think maybe what's going on here.
Yeah,
that's crazy because the old school group, they get pissed if you post Roman Reigns or anything. They're
all about
the old school. But.
Yeah, and we posted in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was old school 70s, 80s, and 90s. I think Undertaker and Kane were getting a lot of love in this group called Pro Wrestling Junkies.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. They're obviously smoking crack.
Maybe that name is a little more revealing than it was intended to be. Right? Maybe they were a little more... there's a comma between pro wrestling and junkie. Maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So... How about the Salamanca group?
The 10 teams that you had listed that didn't make the top 20, the Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, Sheep Herders, who I think got hurt by their Bushwhacker run, Samoans, Outsiders, Mega Powers, Kevin and Kerry, the Nasty Boys, Ricky and Jay, and Arn and Oli.
Yeah.
And the 10 teams that I would have put in that list that didn't make the list at all, I would have had Gene and Oli Anderson, the Fabulous Ones, Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher, Nick Bockwinkel and Ray Stevens, Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens, Mr. Fuji and Professor Tanaka, the Blackjacks, the Valiants, the Funks, and Jack and Jerry Briscoe.
Wow.
I got to say, having watched like the Valiant stuff recently, they would get over today so well because they live the gimmick and they are just like it. They may have got the opposite reaction they wanted. They'd probably be faces today, but they were amazing when they would go out there and. The one guy, everybody remembers Johnny and Jimmy, but there was a guy named Jerry, and he never talked, but just the way he looked and what he would do with his face, it fits so well. It's amazing.
So I know we're running out of time, but of the teams that are working today, how many or which of the ones do you think have a shot at eventually ending up on an all-time list?
Who sells?
FTR.
Usos and New Day. And yeah, James Mark Briscoe, definitely.
Yeah. Not the Young Bucks.
What was that?
Popularity wise, maybe the Young Bucks. I don't know.
No, not the Young Bucks. Well, and it's funny. Bob, a good friend of yours, John Horton. A lot of people know him as Craig Johnson. Because he gave me a top 20, he put Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish on his list.
Maybe.
John's been too close to the roller derby rink, taking too many blows.
I'm surprised the Von Erichs didn't make that list at all. I really am.
Because I feel like we kind of glossed over it. Does anybody have anything to say about the team that made it to number one?
They deserve to be there for sure.
It's no surprise that they were one of probably the most popular tag team ever.
And by the way, there was almost a 300 vote difference between them and the Rock and Rolls.
Wow! Shocked that it was that much, but you can't argue they're 1A, 1B. The Road Warriors, Rock and Roll, Midnights are going to be my top three, and you could. I'd take any two against I'd take any one of those against the other two and be happy with the match.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we can end it on that.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Thank you everybody for being on the show. Make sure you check out Boxman on the Dirt Sheet Dudes and the Hollywood Hangout. Bob, go ahead and plug your podcast with Mr. Bolin one more time.
With Kenny Bolin on the Bolin Alley at youtube.com/StarMakerBolin.
Yes, and make sure somebody gets it to Cornette that the Midnights were get the Midnights were eight.
Doug, you know how close Louisville is to Philadelphia? It's a lot closer than you think.
Jimmy will never leave his house. He's a germaphobe.
Yeah, Jimmy won't. Yeah, maybe he'll. Well, good thing Bruiser Bedlam isn't still alive. He might have sent him.
He won't come. He hated Philadelphia. He hates Philadelphia. He won't come here.
Oh, but he likes to beat on people's. He likes to break people's stuff with a bat. So it's just about.
Let's just say that he's a bigger bark than he is a bite.
Yeah, I believe that. All right, guys, a lot of fun.
I think that's the perfect way to end it. One last insult on Cornette.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank
you. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. See you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. See ya.